I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes, here.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Here.
Mr. Reincho?
Here.
Mr. Stenrock?
Here.
Mr. Yensel?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So now we'll move to Section B, Public Communication. Jenna?
I have a copy of the document for the board, if you guys would like it. And if you...
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to start out by saying I have nothing but the utmost respect for each and every one of you guys. I appreciate the work you guys do, and for the most part, I respect everything you do. But recently, the going-ons between the superintendent, school board, and the library have been made public knowledge. With those things having come to light, I think it's time for someone outside of faculty to stand up and ask this governing board to justify, explain, and truly consider the position you guys have been put in. Your policy that this board and its predecessors have drafted and approved is very clear in these matters. The final say and approval in these instruction material and resources are delegated to the librarian themselves and themselves only. While in theory, you guys have say, it is clear when reading policy that the final say is librarians and your jobs is in a financial role, purely and only, not a curative role, a financial role. By allowing loopholes in this to be exploited, you subvert and twist the policy you and previous boards have drafted and approved. Additionally, this refusal to buy books goes against board policy to one, provide plentiful information on controversial issues and provide resources to highlight all sides regardless of the opinions of outside forces, and to two, remove bias and prejudice from decisions and, to quote your policy, place principle above personal opinion and reason above prejudice, end quote, in creating a comprehensive library. How can you expect to truly educate students without all of the facts? We as Americans, as citizens, have set the precedence of not forcing beliefs and ideas, but instead recognizing the fact that each other, as human beings, are capable of persuasion and therefore thinking through the issues. We are capable of making our own decisions. How can we, as students, citizens, and people, be expected to form intelligent opinions without the resources on all sides of the issues, without acknowledgement of very few issues, without the acknowledgement of the issues that we need to form opinions of? Even if you disagree with the opinions a book or an author may have, there is a difference in acknowledging said opinion and condoning said opinion, a very clear distinction. Like it or not, everyone present here and everyone not present here has an inherent bias. It is something we need to understand and relate to how we make decisions. Inherent bias in and of itself is not an issue. The issue with it comes when you allow that bias to run unchecked and to dominate the lives of others. By not allowing books to be ordered, you allow the bias of our superintendent to be dominant in our education. This kind of bias has an impact on many things. It alienates those that do not fit that bill, denying them the equal representation granted as American citizens and students, and it promotes a culture of us versus them. By only allowing certain kind of ideas, it creates a category, creates a class, creates an us. The natural consequence of this is the formation of a them. A division between an us and a them. Divisions that 100% of the time, historically speaking, have led to cultures of sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, and all-around bigotry and hatred. In your guys' position of power, you are not only stewards of education, stewards of the students, You are stewards of the community and stewards of the culture of that of said community. I ask you, I urge you, I beg of you to reconsider the culture that you are allowing to be created. As it is, our school and community has a lack of diversity through no fault of anybody's, that's just how it is and where we live. The library can and should act as a window to other cultures and other ideas. By refusing that, you hinder student growth, particularly the growth of those destined for higher educations. It's not reasonable, it doesn't make sense to think that you can hide ideas from students forever. Would it not be better to educate them, to expose them to those ideas in a familiar place, in a controlled place, in a place like this, rather than when they're on their own without the guidance of somebody that they trust? Furthermore, we can work to promote different cultures and people by exposing people, and in doing so, foster an inviting culture and community for everyone, not just the people that fit that bill. The even bigger issue, in my opinion, is the refusal to allow educators and staff members to use money that they have worked for, free money, grants, that they have been awarded, and that they have been granted discretion over to buy books. By locking that money up and refusing to let them use it, you once again subvert the very policies you approve and your predecessors have drafted. To bring it back to said policy, it outlines clearly how issues with books and instructional materials should be handled. By creating such a system, you set a precedent for review that errs on the side of allowing the books and dealing with the issues as they arise, not just banning books because of the fear of an issue they might create. And it would be a much different issue if you could honestly say that you disagree with the books themselves. But the books that are rejected are not read. Instead, objections come from anonymous sources online and anonymous internet reviews that, quite frankly, are subjective and untrustworthy. And yet, you're willing to put our education in the hands of these anonymous individuals that have no real inclination to look towards our well-being and even tell the truth. You prefer that over the opinions and ideas of well-trained and licensed professionals? I have a hard time believing that any of you truly believes that's the right way to go. Members of the board, I have nothing but the utmost respect for you and your position and the way you wield that power. I do not respect the position that we are in now, where you are letting one man, one position, subvert your policies and dictate the education of all the students here just on one bias. I do not respect that, but to reiterate, I respect each and every one of you, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you. Is anybody else signed up? All right.
Mr. Mason, can I get his name, please?
Yes. Jonah Cordell. Mount Stroman. What's your address, Jonah?
483 Wingate Place.
Mount Stroman. All right. So now I'll move to Section C, Student Recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have a student who is not able to be here tonight due to an athletic contest, but would like to certainly move forward and honor that student. Later this month, the London Rotary Club will honor senior Blaine Williams as a student of the month for the month of January. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Blaine has a 3.83 grade point average, and he is currently ranked 15th in his class. His favorite course is drawing, and Blaine has played basketball during all 4 years of high school. He earned the Dedication Award in 2020 and the Academic Excellence Award for the 2021-22 season. He is the varsity team captain for the 2022-23 season. Blaine was asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires him, and he chose MPHS teacher Mrs. Toby Briggs. Blaine said, "Mrs. Briggs inspires me to always have a smile on my face every day and say hi to new people in the hallways." Regarding Blaine, Mrs. Briggs stated, "Blaine is an exceptional young man who has contributed in many different positive ways in our school. He is a humble student who would prefer to simply go about his way and do what he knows is the right thing to do, with or without recognition. I have known Blaine for 4 years, and no matter what the situation, Blaine has always been consistently optimistic. He always has a smile on his face and is always willing to help with anything that needs to be done. He is respected by his peers, is a hard worker, and a role model to underclassmen alike. I have no doubt that he will go on to do great things after he graduates, and I wish him the best of luck in everything he chooses to do. After graduation, Blaine plans to enter the workforce and possibly find a trade. He is the son of Matthew and Angela Williams. And so again, as I noted, unfortunately Blaine is not able to be here this evening. He has an athletic commitment, but we're very proud of Blaine, and we do have a certificate for him, and I will see that he gets that, and then the Rotary Club will honor him later this month.
Thank you.
Now we'll move on to employee recognition.
And unfortunately, I'm batting 0 for 2 here tonight on recognition, but our staff member this month is unable to be here this evening as well. But our staff member this month for employee recognition is Mr. Jeff Belchick. Mr. Belchick has been a great addition to the MPLSD staff. He has created an atmosphere conducive for student learning in his classroom. He is standards-based and uses assessments to guide his instructional planning and enhance the learning of our students. He has a great rapport with his students, and there is a high level of respect between him and his students, as well as between students themselves in his classroom. He has also created a great rapport with the staff, whether it is his fellow ELA teachers or the intervention specialists that he works with to support student learning. He is an outstanding staff member and deserves public recognition. So we have a certificate here from Mr. Belchick as well, and I will see that he gets that. But we're very happy to have Mr. Belchick with us, and grateful for everything he is doing for our students.
Thank you. Now move to Section E, Board Work Session. I wasn't able to make it to the meeting last month, but I was able to read the documents and the statement provided by Jenny Wethington. I appreciate that. Joan, I appreciate you being here today. I do think the issue about the process and our board policy regarding library materials is something that we as a board probably need to take a look at, make sure it's what we want it to be. I think a good place to start would be the policy committee. I'd like to see you guys take a look at it, look at our current policy, see if there's any changes you recommend. I think it'd be a good idea to hear from the librarian in that process, kind of get some feedback there, and potentially community members to get their thoughts. But I think that's a good place to start on what you guys think. I mean, once you're done, come back to us and kind of give us some thoughts, and then we'll have an open discussion on, you know, if we need to make any changes. Or that being said, I appreciate Mr. Eisler working this issue. Appreciate all you do for the district, and you know, we'll try to figure out if we got the policies we need to meet the needs of our district. Thank you. Anything else for board work session? All right, so now we'll move to Section F, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of the December 20th, 2022 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Enikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stenrock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Rancho?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
So now we'll move to Section G, Department Reports.
And Mr. President, happy to have with us this evening our technology director, Mr. Eric Griffith. He is going to provide a report to us on the technology department. Mr. Griffith, thank you so much for being willing to be here this evening. We certainly do appreciate it, and we look forward to your report.
Thank you much. Try and position this a little bit better so those in the home audience can see on an angle there as well. So I'm going to be looking at this, and you drive for me, Todd? Or you want me to click? If you drive for me, I appreciate it. All right, so my name is Eric Griffith. I'm the technology director for Madison Plains Local School. And we can go on to the next one here. So I wanted to update you on some of our 2022-23 technology projects so far that we've done at the start of the school year and plan to continue to do throughout the rest of this year. So one is a classified and admin staff primary device replacement. That's a fancy way of saying we updated their computer, right? So we did that last year for the staff. We gave them laptops and are in the process of updating our staff here to these tiny little desktops. They're called Dell 7060s, and I'll talk more about that later. We're also creating more documentation and organization for the department. When we started, there wasn't a whole lot, so this helps us out being more efficient. and effective, documenting what we're doing, why we're doing it, not only for us to remember, but for the next team who eventually takes over after we retire. Also, we have a lot of old technology in the district that we have been organizing and storing in one of the modular units, thanks to Mr. Garrett, who's provided that area for us to get that ready to go so that we can send it out for recycling, and we'll receive funds for it. Our BenQ boards, we did a huge update on those, and I'll talk more about those as well. We also finished something called two-factor authentication, which is a safety and security measure that we have. If you have district email here, what happens is whenever you log in, you're going to receive a text notification for that, and it's just a way to keep us safe to prevent hacks and other negative things that could happen to the district. So that is complete, but as we add more staff members, and if anybody else needs help, you can always visit the technology department. We can set that up for you. It's been relatively painless. Wi-Fi replacement, that's something that we intend to do as well. We're meeting with folks tomorrow, actually, to get the process installed. We have been waiting for several months on this equipment because it was paid for through E-rate, which is a way the school can receive funding. And so we're waiting for those to be installed, and we're going to start meeting with them tomorrow to get that scheduled. We also have some transportation software that's being updated. So specifically on the device replacement, one of the things that we were fortunate enough to do was visit the Ohio State Federal Surplus, and they had some equipment, which I typically wouldn't buy technology from, but we happened to show up at the right place at the right time, and they had really good deals on these small computers that were only 2 years old. So we happened to find a company that has a two-year rotation cycle for technology. So the equipment that we purchased there for very inexpensive cost allowed us to buy devices that were still under warranty. So really good savings there. We got a lot of devices there. We also got some monitors from GovDeals, which Todd helped us get. He's a huge fan of GovDeals, so I would watch your wallet around him. Just don't leave it open. So, but he got us some really good deals on monitors there. So we have equipment that we bought at a nice price that is still in great working condition to supply to everybody in the district. We have so many of these Dell 7060 small form factor computers that if you go to the next slide, we can even put them on the back of the BenQ boards. So if you look at the back of the BenQ board, with just a little bit of persuasion, you can make it fit right in that hole right there, instead of buying the one that BenQ recommends, which is 100 times the cost. So what this does is it guarantees another device for the teacher in the classroom. And if you've been in the classroom and you look and see what they have to work with, they've been wirelessly broadcasting with their only laptop to that board, and then they're sort of stuck. That's the only thing they have to work with. So this will now give them two devices in the classroom, which means they can use that device for more administrative duties, or to grade, or to do other things, to work individually with students. So it's allowing more technology in the classroom. It also, in the younger grades, allows students to have a dedicated learning station for students. When we purchase these BenQs, they're all on carts, the majority of them are, so we can move them around and create individual stations for learning. So the teacher doesn't have to stop using their laptop, walk over, plug it in, get it to work. They have a dedicated device to do that along with that keyboard there. So we got a really good deal on these 7060s, and we have more than enough to put them in every classroom a couple of times over. So they're really good solutions. On to the next one. Technology reporting. This is just kind of a fun fact. We in the technology department get a lot of issues reported to us on a daily basis. We would prefer that everybody reports them in a ticketing system, but this is not ideal, not an ideal solution. We understand that emergencies happen, and sometimes you need to call us on the phone, on the radio, or stop us in the hall and say, hey, is my computer supposed to do this? Is this an emergency? That's fine, but what tracking this documentation helps us do is look at trends and see what is and isn't working in a more global scale. It allows us to be more efficient. So that's one thing that we're trying to get better at, is documenting whenever we answer the phone, have a conversation, receive direct emails, or receive a call over the radio, is documenting that so that we can track these tickets. On average, we receive 84 tickets a day. So people emailing us all day long, and you think, well, we don't have that many staff. How is that even possible? If you jump to the next slide, the breakdown of that are the majority, the bulk is in green, where it's server backup notifications and securely and status notifications. So we have set up in the technology department the ability for our systems to let us know if they're working okay. So normally, all of those notifications where you see 15 and 22, the backup server and the securely, those are letting us know, hey, everything's fine. Those tickets close automatically and we really don't have to take action. But if we did, it would let us know, hey, something failed and you need to take action. That doesn't happen very often. In fact, I think as a group, we should all knock on wood real quick just to make sure that doesn't happen tomorrow or overnight. So the other areas, how that's broken down is in printing issues. We have printer jams, things don't work, they become disconnected from the network. People have questions on how to use their BenQ. Hey, why? How do I do this? How do I do that? So just general things. Those are the quick fixes that we like to do. And then you get into the more time-consuming or the difficult tech issues. Student Chromebooks, staff laptops. One in particular with staff laptops is, hey, the battery doesn't, you know, last as long. So while we document all these tickets, it allows us to look and say, hey, we've had 22 issues over the last 3 months of a lot of different staff members saying their batteries don't work. So that's going to help us diagnose and say, all right, we need to contact the manufacturer and say, hey, we just bought these. What's wrong with these batteries? Or maybe there's something that we're not doing correctly with the laptops that's causing the batteries to deplete quickly. So having that documented helps us look at the trends. So we have Wi-Fi issues, quite a few of those as well. And again, we're getting our Wi-Fi replaced, so we hope that number will go down. General tech questions, you know, people tend to say, is it okay or should I do this? That's fine, we can ask those, but sometimes those are really long-winded, like, you know, is this crayon supposed to be in the side of my headphone jack on my student Chromebook? And then we say no, and then we have to find small tools to pull that out and clean it out. So Crayola doesn't make a tool for that. So then there's miscellaneous technology issues, just the general stuff that breaks and doesn't work over time. But on average, that was October, so you can see those two lines there. The blue line on the left is as the ticket comes in, and then the green line is the ticket is resolved. And so you can see we try and resolve as many tickets that come in that same day to try and be as quick as possible. Occasionally it doesn't happen though, and that's where you see little orange dots right there. That means the ticket went over the next day where we got it resolved. There is a chance that staff members work later past 3:30 and 4 o'clock, and if they submit something from 4 o'clock to 7 a.m., to midnight, that also counts as a ticket that we didn't resolve that day. So there's a little room for error in there, but next slide for me there. So what's next technology-wise? Like I said, I'm meeting with installers to install new Wi-Fi in the classroom tomorrow. We're starting a technology committee where we will assess teachers on the technology in the classroom, ask them, is this technology okay? Is this where you want to go? That's going to lead to a technology plan that should last us 5 years. That in turn will create us a 5-year budget for district technology. So that's a great thing for us there that I'm looking forward to starting. We're finishing up a security grant where that will allow us to upgrade our camera system as well as add additional cameras to each of the exits throughout the building. It's going to update the wireless access control system so that we'll have sensors working on all the doors, and it'll let us know whether we had people come in or out, and additional door locks for some doors that lost their door sensor over the years and we haven't replaced, or additional doors that we think that probably need a door lock on that. And lastly, those BenQs on the back, or the computers on the back of the BenQs, we're about 75% done with that. The intermediate building is the last one on the list for us to do, but everybody else has one of those, and then we'll have professional development on that when that project is done. So that's what's up next. So are there any questions?
Mr. Griffith, just want to say thank you for coming tonight and making your presentation. I want to say thank you as well for all the hard work that you and your colleague, Mr. McManaway, are doing in the district. We certainly appreciate it. I would argue, and I think most people would too, we are ahead by leaps and bounds of where we were when you two arrived here. So we are grateful, and thank you very much. We certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now we'll go to Section H, Superintendent's Committee Report.
And Mr. Mason, given that we, our last Board of Education meeting was the, on the last day of school, we did not have any committee meetings over the winter break, and we only had 2 days of school last week. But we have first of all, Academic Advisory District Leadership Team meeting. Our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, January 23rd at 3:15 in the district meeting room. And then we have a Wellness Committee meeting that is coming up later this month on Thursday, January 26th, also at 3:15. The location for that has not been announced, but typically the Wellness Committee meets in the library. So just wanted to let everybody know about that. But in terms of Superintendent Committee reports, that's all I have for this evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Now we'll move to Section I, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. My report's fairly brief as well. A couple of things to point out. I don't have the normal financial presentation that you're used to seeing due to the calendar year closing and us having a board meeting in the second week of the month, so it brought that up quicker. We're kind of at the mercy of the IRS, and the IRS is not approved a filing that we have that's an automated filing, but we have to wait on their response before we can close the calendar year. So I can't create those nice pretty reports until we close that. We were able to reconcile for the month though, and you do have all those reports there for the cash activity in the district. So I can definitely present the monthly financial package report at the next board meeting along with January's as well. The other item that I have is the approval of the tax rates and revenue from the county auditor. That's something we receive annually, and what that is our new property values here in the district. If there were an increase in property value due to House Bill 920, it reduces or increases our tax rates in the district. Typically, property values go up, so tax rates go down, the effective tax rates. They did go down in our district. However, they only went down 0.03 mils, so from 23.37 to 23.34 for an effective millage rate. By comparison, a neighboring district here in Madison County went down 0.34, so roughly 10 times as much. In my analysis of that, it's largely due to the fact that residential values increased. However, agricultural values remained fairly flat. They didn't decrease this time, which is, for the district, a good thing. Those property values not decreasing, so they have leveled off though. So moving forward in the future, I think we will likely see agricultural values start to climb along with residential values at a similar rate. But for this year, we didn't see an increase in our ag values of any meaningful amount. So basically, districts with more residential property value had a larger effective millage decrease. Districts with less residential property value and more ag value had less of an effective millage decrease. So that's where we stand in comparison with the county. It kind of helps us guide our decision making for one of the decisions before the board here recently, which was our bond issue request. We kind of look at where we're at in the county when determining what kind of an issue we want to put before the community. So the issue that we have before the community right now with these new rates puts us right there in comparison with the other districts here in the county. We are right there at around 33 mils effective millage, total effective millage, if the bond issue were to pass, which is similar to the next closest district, which would be West Jeff. So while we would be somewhat 0.33 over West Jeff, we're still, you know, within range of being right there with the other districts here in the county. So that's a brief explanation of the amounts and rates. It's not required to have a board approval on that, but we thought it in the to be as transparent as possible with the community, to try to educate the community as much as possible on things like this. Thought it was a good opportunity to explain that and how property values affect the property owner's tax rates and effective tax rates, and ultimately how it results in the district effective tax rates. Mm-hmm. There aren't any questions with financial statements. I will point out, because I don't have your regular report, but I do have the reconciliation showing how we ended the month for December,
just to show you, we are at a healthy financial position for the district. We ended with a total fund balance, that's all funds in the district, general and otherwise, $4.8 million. If there are any questions, that does conclude my report.
Thanks, Tom. Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items I-4 through I-5.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next, we'll move to Section J, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of items in terms of discussion tonight. The first of which is that January is School Board Recognition Month. And so we'd just like to recognize all of our school board members, the five of you, for the dedicated hard work that you do. I know it is not always easy, and sometimes there are some late nights and lots of meetings, but we certainly do appreciate it. We have a certificate there for each of you from the Ohio School Boards Association, a certificate of appreciation. And they sent us a nice little poster up here that looks like the certificate. And then we have a new calendar from the Ohio School Boards Association as well. But more than anything, just want to say thank you to you on behalf of the students, our staff, and our community for the service that you render working on the school board. It is sometimes a thankless job, and it is sometimes difficult, and we certainly do appreciate it. And just want to say thank you for your service. So
thank you.
You are appreciated.
Thank you.
The other item that I have for you this evening is twice a year, I am obligated by Ohio Revised Code to provide the Board of Education a bullying report. And so I work to do that at the end of the semesters in January and June. And so at this time in the school year, for the first semester, we had at the K-6 building, we had 7 incidents of bullying that were alleged. None of them were verified, and 7 obviously were then unverified. We had at the 712 building, we had 10 incidents of bullying that were alleged. 3 of them were verified, 7 were not. And so just some information there that we are required to report. And so I want to make sure that I do that. And Mr. President, in terms of discussion items, that is all I have for this evening.
Any discussion there? So now we'll go to Section K, Policy and Governance.
Mr. President, no policy and governance items this evening.
Section L, Business.
And we have one item of business there in Section L, and this is the resolution to determine to proceed with the bond issue. And so that issue is there. It is a lengthy resolution, but I would put it before you as it is presented.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items L2.
Second.
Business items,
yes.
Second.
Discussion? Like I said, I wasn't here last month, so I didn't get to thank all the people that took part in the facilities process. There's a lot of meetings, a lot of time, a lot of community support, so I really appreciate that. I hope we can continue that same energy for the levy process and keep energy going. I think we did a good job, and there seems to be a lot of agreement on needs for new facilities. It's not lost on me when you ask people to spend their hard-earned money on tax dollars. I get that. I think we have to sell that we have a need and the value that it can bring to our community. So I think this process, I hope we can build a strong process like we did with the community input. And I just think it's important that we get the word out and talk about the need and answer people's questions and all that kind of stuff, because I'm a big proponent of the value that it's going to bring to all of our community. So, all right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Stenrock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Next step on that, this will be filed with the Board of Elections. So that will be the next step there.
Next is Section M, Personnel.
And Mr. President, just a couple of personnel items this evening. We had posted a while back some 40-hour positions for bus drivers in an attempt to help recruit and retain. We have two current staff members who are interested in that, and so there is a motion before you to approve those hour increases. And then there is one supplemental recommendation before the board this evening.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 and M3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Sternberger?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Section N, donations.
Mr. President, there are no donations this evening.
Section O, new business.
There is no new business.
Now we have the second public communication. Anybody like to speak? I move that we enter into executive session at
7:47.
For the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code, Section 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the compensation of a public employee, Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by law or rules or state statute.
Mr. President, I believe that does, I think in the notes there it says to consider the employment and compensation.
Oh, sorry, the employment and compensation of a public employee.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Stenbrock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're in executive session.
The next regularly scheduled meeting will be February 21st at 7 p.m. here in the district meeting room. There'll be no action taken after executive session.
Good.